You are listening to the Photo Bomb Podcast with the world's greatest photographers, Boo Ray and Gary.
Welcome to the Photo Bomb Podcast. My name is Boo Ray Perry, and joining me as always is Gary Hughes.
Howdy.
And I would like to start off this podcast with a statement from my publisher regarding last week's podcast.
Oh, no.
I'd like to apologize to all the people of Latin America and Spain for my obvious poor choice of words and comments.
You're like one of those football coaches who says something racist and then has to apologize
the
next week.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Is this your press conference?
Yes. Even though I didn't say anything racist, but I'm afraid someone will think I did.
Hey, well, let's just say it's our show. We'll do what we like. It was playful and everything's fine.
The fact that you think that there could be, because I found it interesting that I now understand the difference between being Spanish and being Latin, and that they are two different things.
Okay, we get it.
How is that racist?
You did like 15 minutes on this last week.
But it just cracks me up that could in any way be
It wasn't that was racist. It's the thing that you said after. Never mind. Let's move on.
That was a joke. That was satire. Okay. My publicist has given me this statement to read regarding the satire.
Here and now, Boo Ray. Here and now. Be in the moment. Be in the moment.
Just saying.
It's time to saddle up.
Welcome to episode 68.
68.
Is this 68 or 69?
68.
68?
Oh. Yes. Oh, next week will be a very special episode.
Oh. Gary would like to apologize.
Next week, it's going to be welcome to episode 69.
Gary would like to apologize.
I'm sorry for making a veiled innuendo for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
There you go.
Also an excellent film, which we talk about films a lot on the show.
We have a guest on the show today.
We have a great guest
on
the show.
I'm very excited about this guest.
Are you?
Good, dear friend of mine. And by that, I mean I've spoken to him a few times. wonderful, wonderful photographer. Joining us from Nashville, Tennessee is Russ Harrington. Russ.
Hello, man. I get to follow the big scandal.
Listen to last week's episode. There was quite the scandal. And I'm very excited to have you on the show, Russ, because you have the life. We're all professional photographers, but you have the cool professional photography life. So let's back it up and let's start with just a little bit of bona fides, if you could. And I hate to put you on the spot, but tell us a little bit about
Russ is a good Southern boy. He don't like talking about himself.
I know, but tell us a little bit about what you do, what you've been doing, for how long you've been doing it, and don't be shy with listing some of the credits. I believe it's 100 album covers.
Well, yeah, 100 plus, maybe 600. There's 700.
maybe 600. Not that no one's counting.
Just a million.
Who's counting? I mean, there are a lot of them you want to forget. A lot of them you're really proud of. A lot of them stand the test of time. And, you know, you do a lot of, you know, new artists that, you know, never make it. You know, they never get on the radio or anything. And then you do artists like Brooks and Dunn and Reba and Alan Jackson who, you know, are all kabillionaires. And it's cool when you look at the images and go, you know, I shot that, and that image is going to last, you know, hopefully for many, many years. So
for those of you who don't know Russ is one of the premier shooters of country music celebrities.
Now, Russ, you photographed pretty much in the last, I don't know, however many years, but you photographed pretty much every country artist who's ever, and some non-country, anybody who's pretty much anybody, the large majority you photographed for their album or for some kind of editorial use, and for everybody from Loretta Lynn to Hank Williams Jr. to all kinds of stuff.
I like to say that I'm a little bit post-mullet. I mean, when they all had the really good mullets, I was kind of shooting weddings and portraits and models and all of that stuff. So I guess kind of 90s, 2000s, it was really kind of rocking. And, you know, we used to shoot probably 60, 70 album covers a year and we're flying.
How did that happen? How did that transition happen? If you start off doing weddings and portrait work, and then, I mean, how did you make that move?
Well, you know, yeah, a ton of weddings in Port. Well, not a ton. I think I did 60 weddings, but, you know, shot on Hasselblad with a Sunpac 611 and VPS 120 and 5x5 prints. And I remember I used to spray them with that McDonald's UV spray, you know. So
we're talking old school. Most of the people listening have no idea what you're talking
about. I know. But there's those couple that are smiling.
Yeah, right.
I mean, you know, yeah, should use mask and be outdoors. Yeah, that never happened. But, you know, just, I started shooting models and I loved just the lighting and beauty lighting and, but you know, backgrounds and going on location and cool stuff like that. And basically that, you know, it's kind of like, man, that's the music industry. And, started showing my model stuff to some Christian music labels here in Nashville. And there was a girl named Connie Sneed who was the art director at Benson Music. Well, I never knew that that was my first cousin.
No. That's a very Tennessee story. As it turns out, she's my cousin.
But, you know, she knew.
We've been dating for 6 months before I found out. Gary just did a spit take. I'm not kidding. Gary, are you okay? Gary was drinking when I said that, and it's not going well. Are you okay?
Please try not to be funny when I'm taking a sip of water, Bure. Apologies to everyone in Tennessee. Please continue, Russ.
My publicist would like me to read this statement regarding my comments about Tennessee.
I mean, I see how this works now. I'm going to gather my thoughts here before.
Yes, I'm sorry. So anyway, you were first cousins with
an art director and a label.
An art director.
Yeah, great. Let me gather my thoughts. So she used to drive by my portrait studio. So when I started calling on her to show her my fashion stuff, she was scared to death going, oh no, I've got this cousin, he does weddings and he's going to want to shoot, you know, kind of music
stuff.
So, you know, I went to show her my work and here I had all this cool fashion stuff. So I started shooting. She hired me and I started shooting Christian music stuff. And then I started, shooting some country stuff and then some magazine editorial stuff. And that was, you know, then, gosh, I don't know how many years later, here we are with a music industry that's never going to be the way it used to be.
It is a lot like the photography industry, probably even more so. Yeah. It has fundamentally changed by the advent of the of digital.
No, I want to share a weird synchronicity personal thing here with Russ, which I find is interesting, is that you talk about you got started doing Christian music, right?
I
know for a fact, because I saw a video you put online a year ago when you were at Imaging USA, that Amy Grant is someone you've done Amy Grant, right?
Photographed
Amy Grant.
I started
in radio doing the Sunday morning gospel show at my campus radio station, and at that time the biggest gospel celebrity was Amy Grant.
Oh sure.
And yeah, so I'm actually very familiar with her work from when she was a Christian rocker or whatever you want, a Christian singer. Oh, yeah. Before she went mainstream. And so it's like a little connection that you and I have, Russ. Can you feel the warmth?
There you go. I mean, yeah, you know, she had a lot of pop records with Sotero, you know, and just a ton of pop records that sold a gazillion records.
Oh yeah, but she was one of those people. You know how you like a band and no one else knows about the band, and then when they become famous, you're like, no, I liked them before. I knew them when, and that's the way I am with Amy Grant.
And her and Vince Gill, her husband, are basically the king and queen of Nashville. They do everything for the city, and you know Vince's new record, we just bought it at Cracker Barrel, actually, where we all buy music.
I don't know if you've noticed, dear listeners, Russ is pretty much from Tennessee.
Yes, he is. What does it say about the state of modern music?
Album covers,
what does it say about the state of modern music that that's where you go to buy your singer, your records now, is the Cracker Barrel?
I'm telling you, you don't go to Target anymore, you go to Cracker Barrel. But,
right.
Bands are touring now. Bands aren't selling records. We all know that.
No. The record is just a promotion for your touring.
Russell, let me ask you a question. Since things have changed, and I imagine that record labels, their budgets, their marketing, their priorities have changed, like where they're putting money into, I've noticed that you're doing a lot of behind-the-scenes production stuff for, like, Nashville, the TV show Nashville on TV. How did you get that, and what is that like, and what's your day-to-day on that show like?
Well, when the music business kind of crumbled here in Nashville, I mean, I had people who worked as set decorators, prop people, set construction, hair makeup people, they are all kind of started scrambling. And when the show came to town, they're almost ready to announce season 5. A lot of those people were like, wait a minute, we can work every day on this TV show and have benefits and have an office. And, so they all went, a ton of them went out to the ABC Nashville show. And so at the end of season 1, I got a call from a friend out there going, Russ, they need, you know, a bunch of photo gear. It's a fake photo shoot. Can you come over and set all your stuff up? And I'm like, sure, I got modifiers, you know. So we set all that up, and then we had to shoot a little shot that was going to end up on a music poster. And since then, I've shot second, third, all of the fourth season. I don't shoot everything, but basically the prop department calls me and goes, okay, we need to shoot, you know, an image of so-and-so is going to be a fake album cover or something that's going to pop up on a phone. Or, you know,
Let me interject, though. The prop department is in charge because it's seen as a prop. That photo that will be a fake magazine cover in the show is seen as a prop. So they have to arrange that?
And sometimes that's an easy thing. Actually, my youngest son is out there today shooting something, just kind of handheld. But, you know, sometimes we bring three assistants and we do a big, you know, we bring, you know, 10 strobes and modifiers, and we hand the camera to the actor who's going to play the photographer and make sure everything's popping up and coming in tethered on the laptop. And, you know, so it's real. I love being out there. I love watching.
Okay. So when you were first asked to go out, were you asked to come out and bring all of your gear because they needed shots, or were you asked to bring your gear because they were shooting a scene that takes place in a photography studio and they needed you to set up the fake studio?
Both. Yeah, both. You know, they had an actor playing the photographer, but they needed all the gear. And then they're like, okay, when that's done, they go, you know, cut, and they call for the still photographer to come in. And in 23 seconds, you know, you have to kind of get this shot that's going to end up, that's going to play, as they say. When they say it's going to play, that means
when they show the result of the fake session that they just had video. You're the stunt baby. They bring you in to actually get the picture.
That's right.
Gotcha.
But, you know, I don't know when this airs. Oh, let's see if I can tell this. But the other day we were out there, and the photographer. And when does this air, Gary?
this will be. I think this episode is for April 18th.
Yeah, around there. Yeah.
Oh shoot! I can't tell that story.
Okay. Now,
done, done, done.
Okay, but the fake photographer was in one of the scariest movies of all time. She is a female. That's all I can say. So don't even ask me anymore. But
no, we didn't ask.
Whoa, is she famous?
Yeah, no. You just kind of Google going, oh my gosh, that was the girl.
Okay. Because I right away thought of someone who was famous who was in one of the most, but okay.
So you also got a really some good news recently. You got a really cool project that you just got, that you just booked.
Oh, I did, yeah. You know, in 1999, I shot Keith Urban's very first record. And that was a cool thing. And I shot Keith for People Magazine and TV Guide back in the day. And then I've seen him throughout the years, and the studio that I last had, he was there a bunch shooting with other photographers, you know, because I rented my photographer to other other shooters. And about a month ago, I get this email on a Sunday night going, Keith wants to do a shoot Tuesday. Keith Urban, he wants to do a shoot Tuesday. We have him for 90 minutes. And I'm like going, what the crap? You know, it's like 16 years later, they're calling you to do an album cover. You have one day to prep. And so we did this shoot. It turned out great. A week ago, about a week and a half ago, he called again going, Keith wants to do a 2-hour shoot.
Yeah.
Got one day to prep. And here he comes. And who's with him but Nicole Kidman.
Nice. Yeah. She's very tall, I heard.
She's pretty tall, pretty beautiful.
Yeah.
And so we did the second shoot, and I found out yesterday afternoon that the new cover and the new package is mine. So
that's so cool. Congratulations, man.
How does that work, though? I want to roll this back because, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff is fascinating to me. So someone calls you and they say, we want you to do an album. I mean, because what you're saying here is that with the case of Keith Urban, it wasn't we want you to shoot the album cover. It was just we want you to do a session with Keith Urban, and it's going to be it could be many photographers' sessions that we look at and pick an album cover from. I mean, how does that how does that work? What do you? I mean, I don't want to get too particular about money, but what are they paying for? What are they getting? How does that work?
That is a question that I think I've got a lot from photographers that they don't know how to charge for certain things. And we definitely don't need to talk any number specifically, but when you book something like an album, is it a lump sum that you give them an estimate? Is it a licensing deal? Is it like a cost plus? Or
like with Keith Urban, I mean, it sounds to me like they didn't come to you and say, we want you to do the album cover. We want to do a session. Keith Urban wants to do a session with you. And you don't know what they might want those pictures for. I mean, how does that all work?
Good questions. All those 10 questions,
yes,
Russ.
Answer all those 10 questions.
Okay,
us.
I'll take number 4 first, and I'm going to hit 7. Well, I mean, since the early days in the music industry, the bigger the act, I mean, they're going to own that shoot. And if you do a Reba or Brooks and Dunn or an Alan Jackson shoot, they're going to own that copyright. They're going to pay you handsomely, hopefully very handsomely, and you're going to go, you know what, I'm going to see this everywhere, and I'm going to be okay with it because hopefully next year they're going to call again. So if you're some new shooter and you're in a small town and there's a small band and they call up and go, hey, we've got, you know, $700 for an album cover. You go, if that's all you got, let's shoot it. And maybe they hit it big, and maybe they do five more records after that. And, you know, they keep calling you. And that's basically what I did in the music industry for, you know, 25 years of music stuff. Is like, you know, I worked with Brooks and Dunn for 17 years, and, you know, you want them to keep calling. But, you know, the key thing I had heard, I mean, he doesn't do shoots and picks from which shoot. He keeps doing shoots until he knows he's got it. And I had heard through the grapevine that he had already done six photo shoots with six different photographers for this new album cover. And still didn't have it.
That's awesome that you got that out of those, having all those shoots done, and that they picked your work.
Well, my next question is
how? No, hang on, Gary. Oh, so, I mean, he didn't like those shoots. He didn't have what he wanted. So those weren't even in, you know, those weren't even on the, they were all on the chopping block, and they went away. It's like, we got to keep shooting until I'm happy.
If they come to you, then they've already had it done a bunch of times and didn't like it. It's not like they're waiting for all of them and then they line them up. Right. It's like, Keith isn't happy. Let's go get somebody else.
Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, then we did this. We did the first, you know, 1 hour. Well, he said an extra hour. So we shot for 2.5 hours. And I was just waiting and waiting. I couldn't even tweet or Facebook or anything that I had done this cover because, you know, you want to make sure he likes it. And then I get the call to do another shoot. And then I'm kind of like going waiting. And then finally, you know, my son in New York retouched about 15 images for them. And there was this headshot, this really, really amazing headshot that we did. And it was looking like they were going to use that for the cover, and got the green light that, yeah, this is going to be the new cover. So, you know, but I still can't, you know, I can't talk about it because, you know, we're, when everyone's listening to this, it'll be out on iTunes and everything. But right now, we're about 36 hours away from them, you know, releasing this to the world. So probably just the single and that first image.
I have an interesting question for you. I think that when you're dealing with these types of people, obviously you've photographed. You know, we could talk all day about the. I think one of the fascinating things to people about this type of stuff is that you get to come into contact with on a regular basis people that we only see on TV or hear on the radio or iTunes or whatever. I would imagine that the stakes are a lot higher because you've got a lot of, oh, I can't talk about this. But you deal with a lot of these people on a regular basis, and obviously nobody's going to ask you to dish any dirt on anybody because that's just not the type of show we are, although you can tell us off the air. Since when you transitioned from shooting weddings into maybe some small-time artists, and then it got bigger and bigger. What was the first moment where you photographed maybe somebody for the first time? Was there ever a moment where you were going to crap your pants because you're about to meet somebody that you really admired? Or do you still get kind of, do you still feel that kind of way? Or is it just kind of like you're photographing any old person when a celebrity walks in?
I mean, if it's the first time you're photographing someone and it's a pretty, you know, it's a big artist, I mean, sure, you know, you kind of get that feeling in your gut. And, you know, when we did, you know, Robert Plant, Mr. Zeppelin came to Nashville to do this record with Alison Krauss. And I was called to kind of go just shoot this inside liner note shot of T-Bone Burnett, the producer, and maybe kind of get some behind the scenes stuff. And, you know, here's Robert Plant standing there.
Right.
You know, that was, you know, so I shot this band shot that just ended up on the inside of the CD. And then as that record started going, that, you know, I got called to do like a shoot for some European magazine and a People magazine shoot. So the image of Robert on my website with Allison, you know, that was one of those where you're just standing in your studio going, "This Robert Plant's just walking around in alligator shoes." And it's just like, you know, your entire photographic life kind of flashes before your eyes going, what did I do to make this guy, you know, he's kind of walking around the studio. So, you know, that still happens. It doesn't happen as often, but I'm sure, you know, if I get a call for some big act I've never shot before, you know, you're, same feeling. That feeling never goes away. It's just kind of like that itch, you know, that you have to scratch. And I mean, like this Keith stuff, I mean, I just could not wait to edit and get the gallery up and see what they pick and see it retouched. And then you see it, you know, shrink wrapped, you know, at Target or Walmart or wherever you see records. You know, you kind of gets like, that's my picture.
But when you do something like that, when you're talking about the whole thing with Keith, and I'm sorry if you covered this and I didn't quite catch it. The basic idea is you're paid the same regardless of whether or not he picks it for the cover. They pay you,
for sure, yeah.
They pay you for the shoot, and then it's just, from that point on, it's just a notch in my belt game for you. It's hopefully exactly. They pick my image and I get that great feeling, but I don't make any more money. They paid me for the session regardless.
Exactly right. And right. You think, okay, you know, Idol's getting ready to be over, but he's still hanging with Harry Connick and J Lo, and you know, who's going to see that photo credit? It's all about that photo credit. I mean, you know, it may be 5 years down the road, but it's like so-and-so saw that Keith Urban album cover that I did. And, you know, and then that's just kind of you live for that photo credit.
But see, I like that. The thing I like about that from a photographer's standpoint is that you don't have the, I need them to pick this so I can pay my rent mentality. Whether or not they pick it for the album cover becomes purely a personal achievement for you.
Oh, exactly.
It becomes purely a, I want to win this award, I want to do this thing, as opposed to a, it's not tied to monetary for you. You got
right.
paid for the shoot regardless. Now, I just want this for me. I just, yeah. You know, because, I mean, it's going to help me with my business some to do this stuff, sure. But still, it's not like when you do a family portrait session, and then when they come in, you're like, okay, here comes the session where I've got, if they don't order a lot of prints, I can't put food on the table.
Right.
You know,
right.
You don't have that. They paid for your session when you did it, and they get everything. So now it's just, what will they do with it?
Now you know when Nicole is taking pictures on her iPhone of the shots of her husband off of your laptop, that, you know, you kind of did something right.
Yeah, right. That's a good thing.
See, we were just talking about in the last week's episode about how that pisses us off when people do that in our shoots.
But that's different. It doesn't piss me off if they prepaid for all the pictures. I don't care if you do that. You're not costing me any money.
If Nicole Kidman was in my studio, it wouldn't piss me off if she spit on the floor. Like, she could do whatever right. she wanted in my studio.
We threw rose petals down as she walked.
Yes, absolutely. You can do whatever you want. Okay, so here's my next question about that sort of session specifically. When they call you and they say Keith Urban wants to do a shoot with you, how much information do you get? How much direction do you get? Do you get he wants to do a session because he's looking for an album cover and he wants it to be something that's kind of brown? He's looking for close-ups. He's looking for, or is it just we'd like to hire you to do a session with Keith Urban and use your own creativity, you know, or somewhere in between? What level of, and I'm sure it varies from artist to artist.
Yeah, how much is planned ahead of time?
How much is planned? How much is you? How does that work?
I mean, let's talk about when the record label used to call back in the day.
Okay.
And you would drop your portfolio off and it's like, you know, there's five other portfolios at the art director's office and you wait for that call and it's like, okay, you got the cover and you're photographing so-and-so and, you know, we're going to catch them on the road in Houston and we're going to shoot... You know, we need to find a location scout and here's the vibe that we want. Or, you know, we're photographing this new artist and she's a female and we want to do beauty shots and we want to do it all inside so we can control the hair. So, you know, each one of them was different. Now, I mean, when Keith called, you know, it's kind of like a low kind of a pressure thing. They're like, we're not bringing glam. We're not bringing hair, makeup, wardrobe. Keith's coming. He's bringing a few T-shirts and some jeans. Do your thing. You're like going, oh man, are you kidding me?
Basically a senior session.
Yeah, perform for us, please. Yeah, it's basically like a high school senior session, but with a celebrity.
Yeah.
So on both of those shoots with, you know, 36 hours to prep, I book assistants, food for the shoot. I go find props, a rental studio. Everything was pulled together in that one day. And then you show up and it's just like, okay, these are the walls I rented. This is where we're shooting, you know, let's try this light, that light. And, you know, we did it twice and it's just,
I love that you're saying things that no one else has ever said on the podcast. You never hear, things like, I had to get food for the session and these are the walls I rented. No one has ever said anything about having to rent walls for a session.
The thing I got from his guy was Keith wants to keep it low key. Therefore, you know, we don't want a bunch of food there. Don't want a bunch of, you know, I had three assistants.
Only three. He only had three. He cut it down to just the three assistants.
How
Gary.
Humble.
Yeah. How humble to just be with the three. I don't know how you got out of bed in the morning with just the three, Russ.
We've got to get there early, set everything up, light it all, and then boom, he comes in, and we've got 90 minutes to shoot. So, you know, it's just going to be like, you know, the backstage of a Broadway show. I mean, it has to move
right
quick. So
want trigger time.
I never work with less than five assistants.
Yeah, absolutely.
How dare you?
So you know, if I don't have Keith for the rest of his music career, I'm going to be shocked because of what I was able to do on both shoots in 1 hour prep.
So. I think it's fantastic that you are still so excited with as long as you've done this and as many as you've done that you're still like you're almost giddy over Keith Urban's album cover.
Yeah, no, I can't. I mean, just when they pop up on the screen and, you know, the first shoot we used, it's called a Breezy. It's, you know, basically like a $25,000 modifier that we rent. And then on the second one, you know, I used a Fotech Softlighter, which is an $89 umbrella. You know, and one of those shots is probably going to be the tray card, which is kind of the back of the CD that kind of sits in the tray. That's why they call it a tray card. I mean, I think the Fotech Softlighter shot is that one. The cover is this daylight black and white shot that my son in New York retouched, and it's pretty sick. You know, now what I'm waiting for is to see the type treatment and, you know, kind of the design, and hopefully that just is, you know, just goes along with my image and just makes it a beautifully designed the entire package. And, you know, I just can't wait to flip through the book and, oh, here's how that use that image. And then some of the images may be used socially. They may be used on a billboard. They may be used for merch, for T-shirts. Could be as 8x10 glossy, you know. So that's really cool to, you know, in 6 months I'll go, oh, there's that shot that I love so much. And, you know, they were holding that to use it for this or that. So
have you ever had a client's marketing firm or label or whatever use a picture that you didn't love? You're like, oh, that's the one they used. Oh, why did they use that
one? And the next thing you know, it's on a billboard all over Nashville.
So, you know, probably 100 album covers, you know, they would crop in on a headshot because the A&R people, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, no kid's going to buy the record unless it's, you know, this tight headshot. They won't be able to see it from across the, you know, it's just that whole marketing, like, you know, why you put the Fruit Loops at, you know, kids' eye level.
Right.
But so, you would be the only one that would know. Nobody else would. Everybody else would think it was just fine. And you'd be like, God, I can't believe they cropped that way.
Well, the first thing I would do is flip over to the tray card going, oh, there's that shot. And then the inside is like, oh, yeah, here's all the goodness. I understand you've got to sell records. And
right. You got to, for them, for you, it's art, but for them, it's just a marketing tool.
Yeah. But I mean, you think of, you know, Kansas and Boston and Steely Dan and all of those album covers. We never saw those.
No,
bands.
No.
Because there's like 18 guys in the band.
That's true.
It's like, how do you make an album cover? What's the size of a CD? It's like about 5x5 a CD. Yeah. CD case,
yeah, 5x5.
And what if you know you got a band? It's like the Dave Matthews Band. There's like 19 guys on stage, right. And it's like,
what about stand-ups? I mean, that has to have happened to you, where you've walked into, say, a Walmart or someplace like that, and there's a stand-up. It's one of your
images. Oh yeah, I mean, we've shot a bunch of stand-ups. You know, it's we did one of somebody not long ago. For Jimmy Wayne, a guy who had a lot of hits in the 90s, and we just did a kind of a Crystal hamburger campaign for him. And we had to do a stand-up for that. So
that's got to be surreal. You're like, all I wanted was to make a bad food decision, and there's my picture of Jimmy Wayne.
Oh, no, a gut burger. You know, you got to have one of those every now and then. So.
Well, let me ask you about this, too, because I know that another thing that happened recently that, and I'm assuming was a milestone, first time it's happened to you, but maybe it wasn't, and I believe that Reba was headlining in Vegas.
Well, yeah, Reba and Brooks and Dunn.
And the Marquee.
The Marquee is mine. Yeah, it's cropped really, really weird.
Right off the bat, I love it. Where is it? The Mirage?
It's at Caesars.
At Caesars. But I love, this is the artist. I'm on the Marquee at Caesars. But by the way, they did a crappy crop on my image. I'm going to point that out. Yeah, it's like I want to thank the Academy for this Oscar. But I really wish they had kept those two deleted scenes in, because I really crushed those.
They're not going to change the Marquee for my photo.
I'm looking at the photo right now. I got it pulled up on.
Let me see that.
On the interstate behind Caesars, there's like a 40x40 foot of it, and then inside at Will Call, there's a 15 foot. You know, made it vertical, but yeah, about a year, I guess 2 years ago, I got this call from their manager going, "Russ, top secret, dude. We're all going to kill you if you say a word, but you got to do a shoot with Brooks and Dunn and Reba. They're going to do, you know, they're going to kind of do the gaps when Celine and Elton are not at Caesars. They're going to kind of try this kind of country thing." And boy, they just, you know, I think they're signing more years, and it's sold out every time they do it. So they're, you know, they'll be there for like a couple of weeks, every 2 or 3 months. I forget, it's a weird schedule, but if you just go to Caesars, website. But we flew out to Vegas to see the show, and it's pretty amazing show. I mean, Brooks and Dunn does their hits, Reba, they do stuff together. Both bands are on stage, so it's a really, really great show. I mean, it's
big. I love that when you ask Russ about this stuff, he always veers off into basically just talking about the act.
Right.
Instead of talking about his photography.
Yeah, you can tell, you know what I mean? You can tell, Russ, that you are living in a world that you really enjoy.
Yeah. Because you're every time we ask everything you've always gone back and you go, well, and their show is great. Well, we don't care about their show, Russ. We're talking about the photography.
they're good friends.
But I think that's great. Because like Gary said, it's obvious that you love this world that you're in.
Oh, I do. But you know, having a marquee at Caesars and some billboards, that's, you know, I had to fly out and see them. I had heard people and sent me pictures of them. But I'm like, I've got to see this.
Oh, well, listen. I would Reba and Brooks and Dunn. I mean, that's the real deal. I mean, they've been around for too long. They're a real deal. They're great artists.
Let me ask you a question, Russ, because too, a lot of photographers who are in sort of the everyday kind of portrait and wedding world, we look at somebody like you who does, you know, works in the circles that you work at. And it's funny that you seem to have and deal with a lot of the same feelings and have a lot of the same problems. And it's sort of these universal things. What do you think that, cause you have now started to teach, you've spoken Imaging USA and, you've got a book out, and there's all kinds of stuff that you're doing now to pass on your knowledge. This is real practical nuts and bolts lighting and posing stuff that you are teaching. What do you think is something about your business and about your life as a photographer that would really surprise your average photographer who's out there that looks at you like, oh my God, he's really got it made? What would surprise people about what you do?
Oh man, I wasn't ready for that one.
I'm not ready for that one.
Too good of a question.
That's just too good. I mean, you know, people asking me, you know, just, you know, who, what, when, where, and why. And I mean, I just think, okay, I was in Nashville. I was in Music Town, and you know, I loved shooting models, and that was kind of the natural. It's like, you know, what I do is make people look tall, skinny, and beautiful. So it's like, yeah, I want to shoot album covers. I mean, if you're in Detroit, if you're in Florida, if you're in Oregon, wherever you, whatever town you're in, it's like, you know, what's happening photographically in my town? Is there any fashion? Is there any editorial stuff? Is there, you know, is it product? I mean, I got buddies who shot, you know, refrigerators and golf shoes for, you know, for 20, 30 years, and they just loved it. That, you know, just as different as, you know, kind of me hyped up, you know, like a spider monkey on Mountain Dew doing what I do.
I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
What do you love?
This is my son Walker and my other son Texas Ranger.
Boo-Ray just lit up. He's like, really?
That's one of my favorite lines ever. I'm going to come at you like a spider monkey.
Totally worth interrupting our guest.
I'm so sorry.
Sorry.
He threw spider monkey into a conversation, Gary. Come on.
Also never been said on the show.
That's true.
You know, if you're in Topeka, I mean, it's not music capital of the world. I mean, it's like, what's there? What can you shoot there? I mean, you know, we were always kind of family first and had two boys, and it's like, well, I want to do fashion, but you know, I'm not going to move the family to LA or New York. I mean, that's not what I was about. I mean, it's always kind of been in the, you know, the pit of my stomach going, what would have happened if I was this or I was there and I was shooting this, and if I had gotten that break, you know. But that's not real life. I mean, you got to, you know, I'm 33 years into shooting, and I still see images, you know, in magazines going, that just makes me want to quit. That's so good. You know,
that's refreshing. That's refreshing to hear from somebody with your experience.
It is. I mean, it's just, and then, you know, and then you're doing a shoot in Nicole Simpson. I mean, Nicole Simpson.
Wrong, Nicole. Yeah,
way wrong.
Nicole Kidman's back there going, oh, Russ, your light is beautiful. And you're like, you know, Lord, take me now. I mean, that's it. You know, that's, I can die now.
Well, Lord,
I mean,
take me now.
It's funny. I mean, you say that because, I mean, what you're saying really speaks exactly to, I mean, not to compare Gary and I in any way to you, but it speaks exactly to Gary and I. You said, look around where you are and what's happening photographically. I live in Tampa, Florida, and where do I make most of my money? Shooting destination beach weddings on the beach. Sure. Because those are the people, because that's a market here. There are people here, lots of people who come here to get married on the beach, and we recognize that as a market, and we went after it, and that's how we make a decent living. And sure. Gary is in Orlando, and he recognizes that a lot of people come to Orlando for conventions.
I mean, the convention capital of the world.
And they need headshots for their company and for their websites, and so he markets after that. So look around where you are and figure out what in my town photographically, what do people need?
Yeah.
And play into that.
And I do want to tell people, this will make a lot of enemies, but if you're shooting concert photography, that's cool, but that's not going to get you album covers. I mean, that's, you know, those, how are you going to sell those things? I see so many people with, you know, 40 concert shots. It's like, okay, you got in the pit and you got a 7200 and you took your ISO up to 1 million. That's cool. But I mean, that band is not hiring concert photographers to shoot their publicity shoots, their album cover shoots. You've got to show them, you know, I took this band and I went to this cool factory and I lit it 5 different ways. And, you know, if you spend a day with me and pay me whatever amount of money, I'm going to get you press shots and album cover shots. That's what they're looking for. So
I find that extremely refreshing, because in this world of modern photography and run and gun and shoot and pray, it's very refreshing to see that in your world and what you do, that it is still about a level of artistry and equipment and understanding the craft and bringing all that to bear that will, in the end, get the contract. I like that. Because there's so many other areas of photography where it's, you know, where it's been watered down.
I mean, when I'm speaking now and kind of showing a lot of these behind-the-scenes shots, I mean, I'm telling people, you have to learn lighting. I mean, I know there are people that can make 3 speed lights, talk to each other, and do all this stuff. I can't do that, and that's not going to happen on an album cover shoot. So you need to learn about mono lights and packs and heads and big modifiers. And you know, and you don't have to own $10,000 power packs. You can rent them. I mean, you know, I've rented for that Brooks and Dunn Reba thing. We rented, you know, $100,000 worth of pro photo gear and probably cost, you know, $1,500 to rent it all. So, I mean, that's what everyone does. I mean,
One of the things I noticed that you were talking, you that you mentioned earlier too, and now you're talking about this, you said you had to rent studio space, you rented equipment, and then you said earlier that someone was on tour and they're going to be here. And I remember seeing a photo shoot that someone had done with Will Ferrell, and they'd asked him to do and he had to go to the hotel and set up there. Is that pretty much commonplace with you that when you get booked for these things, it's not like they come to your studio, that you really got to go to them?
I mean, more back in the day, unless, you know, I'm thinking, you know, a lot of my stories are pre-music crash. I did a ton of Brooks and Dunn stuff. It's like, wait a minute, they're going to be shooting a video in L.A., and they're going to have wardrobe, hair, and makeup. And so, you know, during the breaks while they're relighting for the video, you know, we would do our stuff. You know, it's like any chance they could get to get, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 setups is golden, you know. Plus, you know, the bigger acts, you know, they would get a day off and they would – you know, management would put a photo shoot on them and they would show up going, hey, Ross, how you doing? Just like, you know, another photo shoot. So, you know, not so much anymore. I mean, you know, there are people shooting a lot of the newer acts. I'm not shooting a lot of that kind of stuff right now. But, you know, I got the Keith Urban album cover, so that kind of makes
it. There really must be a lot of prep for you, especially if it's, oh, we've got to go out to L.A. Well, now you've got to rent everything you need out there, and you admittedly need a lot.
Yeah, I mean, you just, you know, but basically, if you're going to a big market, I can have a grip truck with stands and sandbags and apple boxes and rent power packs, and it just shows up on the shoot. You know, you've got kind of a network of assistants, and, you know, you take one or two with you because you kind of want to know, you know, you take your own kind of digital tech with you and your first assistant if you can afford, and you just show up and boom, you know, you're shooting in a different town. I mean, It's different. It's no different. It's like a big Brian Setzer shoot we did in Minneapolis. You know, I show, you know, everything about that shoot, from bidding it to location scouting to the final images and stuff, and then the final budget. You know, I've always loved traveling because it's new backgrounds and it's new people and new looks and new roads and, you know, same gear, same assistants, but, you know, it's something fresh. You know, Nashville
What would you say is the biggest misconception? I mean, I'm sure people who you meet, you know, be photographers, non-photographers, both. Is there a common misconception that they have about your job, what you do, what it's like working with celebrities? I mean, do you find yourself constantly, you know, always having about? No, it's not actually that way.
Well, it's probably like watching a fix-it-up show. You know, someone flips a house in 30 minutes. You know, it's kind of like once you do it yourself, it's like, wait a minute, that it's not that easy. But, you know, it's knowing what to bring, and it's having craft services, and it's having hair, makeup, and wardrobe, and you know, a place for people to change, and restrooms, and
so you think people, you think people generally think that your job is easier than it is?
Oh yeah, no, it's, you know, and you know, all through elementary school, I always got checked, you know, use time wisely on my report card, and it's like, wait a minute. And now I, you know, I kind of became known for getting more setups in one day, and that's why a lot of acts, you know, kept hiring me, because it's like, you know, if we go with Russ, we're going to have 10 different setups that we can use for, you know, a year or two before we have to do another photo shoot. So, and you hear from, you know, your, you know, all the local assistants, you know, they work with all the other photographers that come to town, and you kind of get to hear the scoop on, you know, it's like, I was on his last cover, you know, they got two setups and, you know, it took forever, and, you know, they didn't touch a light, and I lit the, you know, I have several assistants who can mention about 20 or 30 album covers that they lit the entire thing, and the photographer walked up and punched the buttons.
Right. Yeah. You hear about those guys.
I've definitely seen that. Now, speaking of your lighting, now you do have a, you have a book out right now, don't you?
Yeah. My first product, as they say, it's a behind the scene book, you know, for gosh, I guess 20 or 25 years, we always had a little camera with us, even, you know, pre-digital, we had a little roll of 35 millimeter color negative, just kind of popping behind the scene shots. So, you know, on RussTalks.com, our website that we've got, I've got this little behind the scenes book that shows about, I think there's 25 lighting scenarios, from, you know, tons of heads to fluorescent lights from Home Depot, to, you know, hot lights, to a little bit of everything, from how I manipulate daylight. So yeah, there's a, it's also available in a digital download. So it's just kind of a cool thing. The hardbound book, you know, you can put in your camera bag and go, yeah, I can pull this out and let's try this light, you know, the way Russ used it on this Miranda Lambert shot or whatever. So, yeah, this is the first volume one of the behind the scenes book.
Now, let me, this is what's crazy about your book. How much is it to buy the digital download version of your book?
You know, that is a whopping $15.
$15 for like go-to setups from Russ Harrington. I think that's like value for dollar. You absolutely can't beat that.
Yeah, I was going to charge more than that for my bar mitzvah book. And now I can't, people are going to go, are you high? Look at Russ Harrington's book is $16. How can you charge $19.95 for your bar mitzvah book?
Yeah. So
thanks, Russ, for just driving us down on our price.
There goes the market on my book.
That's right. You're supposed to be the expensive book. You're the real deal.
I'm the CarMax of the photo world.
that is killer, man. And now you've been recently getting into teaching, and you and I have been working on some speaker stuff at PPA together, and you got a platform in Imaging USA. I think you're going to be back in Imaging USA in San Antonio in January.
Correct.
And so you got a lot of stuff coming up. So like, how is that? And what are you teaching when you do your classes? What is your main focus, rather than, because it would be easy for someone like you to be like, here's a photo I did of Miranda Lambert.
Here's a photo I did
of Hank Williams Jr.
I want to jump in before you answer that question and say I'm not speaking at Imaging USA in San Antonio. So if you need an assistant on stage, I would gladly be one of the guys who's moving the lights and stuff.
Then he only needs to find two more assistants.
That's right. He only needs two more assistants. I could be first assistant. I could be number one.
Put Blu-ray in all black and some black gaff tape hanging off his hip. I like
that's right.
It.
That's right. I would love that. Okay. So anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. So, you know, it would be easy for you to do a show and tell of like, these are all the famous people that I photographed and let people ooh and ah, but you're really concentrating on some nuts and bolts. And I'd love to get you to talk a little bit about what it is that you are teaching.
Well, I'm teaching at Texas School, in April for the first time. So that's going to be exciting. That'll be, you know, 5 days of hands-on.
Now that is a party for those of our listeners who are not sure. Texas School is the Texas Professional Photographers. Puts on a week-long school in Texas, and it's basically like about 1,000 photographers go to this school, and you spend a week in a small classroom situation with different instructors from all over the country, and so you're going to be doing a fairly small class size week-long intensive, is that right?
Yeah, I think there's maybe 30 people, but you know, my whole thing where, you know, if I come to your studio to do a one-on-one, or if I do a workshop or a Texas School, is going to be, you know, lighting. Because if you're trying to, I mean, look, everyone's got a 5D and a 2470 and a 7210, 7200, whatever. You know, we all have the same gear, and we all have 8 million mag, and we can all shoot sharp. But, you know, if the only thing you can do is shoot 85 millimeter wide open, you know, that's going to take you so far. You've got to learn how to light. You've got to learn how to go into different locations and control the daylight. And you know, that's what I'm going to be doing, is just you know, not just overpowering the sun, but, you know, how to location scout and how to, you know, let's take a scenario and let's light it five different ways. I mean, you know, what if you've got one lighting scheme and you get, you know, your biggest gig, your biggest artist, and they go, you know, I hate the way that looks. Do, you know, do something else. And you're like,
that is when you poop yourself.
Yeah, well, you got to have a few clubs in your bag.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and early in my career, I shot these fashion ads right after weddings and portraits for this, you know, high end department store here in Nashville. No assistants, shooting Hasselblad, shooting black and white negative film, and I had this little light kid, and I would lay him around and send all these shadows. He'd go, make it weirder. And I would move him, and he just kept on. And this guy just drilled me for 7 years. And I just created this, like, I can light quick, I can see it quick, and I can make it look different. And that's kind of what I've done my entire career. So it's like, you know, I want to teach people this, you know, instant digital age that, you know, putting stuff on automatic and TTL is not going to get it, you know, when you move up, you know, through the ranks.
Well, I don't think, you know, as a guy who shoots a lot of TTL, because I'm running gun on location, in a studio setting, no. In a studio setting, it's all manual. Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is TTL has its place. So you can sure, still I'll use it. But yeah, people using TTL in a studio, I'm like, no, there's no reason to. Why would you be using TTL in a studio?
And if you have a situation where you do have a client that's going to go, okay, but can we do something else? I mean, that's
right.
We talk about
point,
that over and over and over again.
Yeah, you've got to have the knowledge.
You have to know how to do it. It's when people get into the natural light photographer debate versus the strobes. You need to know how to do everything as much as you possibly can, because if someone comes to you and says, we want this, you have to be able to do it.
Right. You can be the single guy who knows one thing, and this is what I do, and I make a living at it, and that's great, but you're going to be in trouble the first time that there's suddenly people don't want that anymore.
It's just amazing what you guys can do with those things and the TTL, and, you know, it's just not what I do, and it's not what I was raised doing. But I'm saying that's got to be, you know, in the bag of tricks. I mean,
the thing about TTL is all it is a speed assist for you, maybe, and not always really. It all comes down to you still have to know the lighting. I mean, exactly. even when I teach TTL, I'm like, I really, really think you should learn manual first. And then, you know, if this is something that, then TTL just becomes a, you know, like you said, it's just one extra little tool you've got available to you if you want to use it.
Yeah, 100%.
But you run into these people who are thinking, no, if I can just let the camera do everything for me, that'd be great. And I don't even want to learn what 3:1 ratio is or any of the other things. You might make it for a while, but the first time there's a bump in the road, you're in trouble.
And, you know, and it's like, you know, when you learn manually how to work your camera, you know, I want to teach people manually how to work their lights, going, okay, here's this head. What are we going to put on it? What do I want it to do? I know the computers can tell each other what it can do and just give me this, you know, beautiful exposure, just like the camera body can do. But it's like, you know, that way you walk up to a scenario, a location, you know, like one of these Keith Urban shots, it's like we had this amazing couch, and I'm like, I just know a ring light will just make this fabric and everything just zoom. I could have shot it with, you know, hard lights, soft lights, indirect, umbrellas, soft boxes, strip boxes. But it's like, you know, I bet a ring light right here will really, and it's just this, you know, it just made the shot zoom. You know, it's just kind of like, okay, how big is your bag of tricks? I mean,
right.
I used to carry around a piece of paper with about 20 different lighting scenarios and just go, okay. And I would look at the scene going, okay, which one of these is going to look cool? And that's, you know, and I would pull out and go, okay, let's try fluorescent lights, or let's try, you know, five little grid spots. And, you know, so it's the same artist at the same location, but it's like, make it your shot, you know, kind of bring your palette, you know, just kind of do your Bob Ross thing to it.
Happy little tree.
A happy little tree.
Hey, man, Russ, we are unfortunately running low on time, but I got to tell you, I really, really appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Giving so much, like somebody with your level of experience to be able to, and there are a lot of people who do what you do, and I know a lot of photographers who would not be as open to share what they know, and so you are definitely that guy, and we appreciate that, man.
Early in my career, I had some dear portrait photographers here in Nashville let me come to the studio and look around and sit there, little, you know, young guy with a head full of hair.
Although you mostly wear hats now, a lot of hats.
I'm officially a hat at. So.
Russ Harrington, wearer of hats.
You got to give back. So yeah, hit RussTalks.com and you know, get that little book and come see us on the road. And I am, you know, I'll fly anywhere and do a one-on-one. What I'd like to do is, you know, if you've got a studio and you want to just like reinvent your space and, you know, let's shoot with your lights, your backdrops, your daylight, your parking lot. Let me just kind of come in there and show you, you know, how to look at it all in a new way and, you know, spend the day with you. So that's also available. If anybody wants to kind of hang for 24 hours, we'll do it.
The thing about Russ is that he so undeniably walks the walk. That's the thing. I mean, we meet so many people who teach and educate, but Russ has all of the credentials to back it up.
Absolutely.
Every credential you need. I mean, there's just, I want to go take his Texas school class, and I don't even do what he does.
It's hard. It's hard to take photography advice from somebody who's not a working photographer. Yeah, I find that's the case for me.
Not only is it a working photographer, would you like to see some of my work? Well, just go down and look at the music rack at Walmart, and that's my portfolio. Yeah.
Thank you, guys. Well, I've enjoyed getting to meet you guys and look forward to next time our paths cross. And I've just met so many amazing people who are just instantly great friends to this PPA, some of the imaging things, and you two knuckleheads are definitely two of them. So
you'll see us again the same place you saw us last time at the bar at the convention.
Whatever the closest bar is to the registration desk, we'll be there.
Every time I see Russ, it's at the bar at the convention.
That's them.
Okay. All right, man. Hey, thanks a lot. We're gonna go ahead and take it out of here. Russ, you're the best, man. I appreciate
it. Happy spring. See you guys.
Hey, thanks, Russ. Don't forget, you can find us online at photobombpodcast.com. You can find Gary at HughesFioretti.com.
Yeah, thank you.
You can find me at BlueRayPerry.com. If you need to rent photographic equipment, where can you do that, Gary?
If you go to thelenspal.com, you can rent equipment. And not only that, my friends, not only that, but if you go to checkout, you can use the code PHOTOBOMB, all one word, to get 10% off your rental.
You can send us questions and comments at questions@photobombpodcast.com. We will see you next week.
See you later.